On Tuesday of this week, a really important conference begins. It's called General Conference, and it's about our whole denomination. Delegates from all over the world come together. They're meeting in Charlotte this year. We haven't been able to have a general conference for a long time because of COVID. And a lot of important things are going to be happening for our denomination there. Three things I can think of that are probably at the front. One is we're going to be talking about changing our social principles. I've talked about that before, but it's kind of our document of kind of where we discern what we believe about a lot of things. And they've updated the social principles. It's really fantastic. I'm going to get a copy for everybody when they get published, if that's approved. They're going to take out all the language about human sexuality and just take it out because we just don't agree about that. And so that won't be an issue. Another thing that looking at doing is taking all that language of sexuality out of the book of discipline, which would change how churches might respond to those issues about LGBTQ stuff. So that's really important. And then the third issue is this thing called regionalization, where I won't get into the whole thing, but it would allow the United States to make decisions about what we want to do separate from other parts of the world. We don't all agree about how to do some of these things. So if you're interested in knowing what's happening at General Conference this year, I'm going to put in the email that I send out on Tuesday a link to Mark Holland's blog. Mark Holland is actually here, and he's going to be going to General Conference. He is representing Mainstream UMC, which is an organization. Barry's on the board for that, too. He writes a really great blog and will keep us up to date with what's happening. But if you have any questions for him, I don't think he's sticking around for the potluck, but you can grab him on the way out or make him stay for the potluck. So this is a prayer that was written by Reverend Carl Frazier, a prayer for General Conference. So I want us to use this as our prayer today. Let's pray. Almighty God, on the day of Pentecost, your Holy Spirit descended and gave voice and power to the church, birthed by the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Hear us as we pray for this part of your family, the United Methodist Church. Grace the General Conference with your presence and power. Where there is any dissension, bring unity. Any confusion, clarity of mission. Any fear, a holy boldness to seek and do your will. Bless and be with the delegates and all who are present, giving them strength of body and purpose, discerning spirits and open hearts, that by their actions and decisions, the United Methodist movement may be renewed in our commitment to your mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We pray this in the name of the Lord of the church, the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Hear these words. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, we're going to start with a quiz. I'm going to tell you about something that is written on somebody's tombstone, and you're going to guess who it is. Famous people, okay? Great fun? We'll get there. We'll get there, people. All right, first one. He taught us how to paint with our eyes and to think with our hearts. I like that. No, it's not Bob Ross. Earlier. No. No. These are all good guesses. Leonardo da Vinci. Oh. All right. I want to hear you all guess this one in unison. I am the greatest. Muhammad Ali, that's right. Love the animals. Respect the environment. What did you say? Jane Goodall. You know, she's the one that worked with the chimps. Yeah. Here's another one that is pretty hard. You probably won't get. It's a quiet strength. Good guess. Jane Goodall. She works for all of them. She is the greatest. The answer is Rosa Parks. Oh, Rosa Parks, quiet strength. All right, I like this one. Save money, live better. What did you say?
Jane from State Farm.
Sam Walton. Who said it? Did you really? Yep. Sam Walton. Okay, this one is very difficult, so I don't expect anybody to get it. Respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. There you go. Somebody had to say it. And here's the last one. This one put a tear in my eye. Neighbor.
Mr. Rogers.
Aren't those great? It has nothing to do with the sermon. Oh. It kind of does, actually. Have you ever thought about what you would put on your tombstone? What you would have them put on your tombstone? Something that kind of sums up your life's accomplishments? I don't even know if I will have a tombstone. I don't know if I'm going to go that route. But if I did, here's what I would put on my tombstone. He used his gifts. That's what I would put. Does that seem kind of weird? But that's what I'd like to be remembered for. Somebody who recognized the God-given gifts that I have and that I use them. I don't know if that's fitting for a tombstone. And really, maybe I'm not thinking about a tombstone. Maybe I'm thinking about a legacy. You ever think about what kind of a legacy you want to leave in your life? What kind of impact you've had? And maybe that can't be summed up on a tombstone. But in terms of like your lasting contribution on this planet, like the ripples that you sent out into the world that you may not even be aware of, that's what I'm talking about. And I think that has to do with how you use your gifts. And that's what we're talking about today, nurturing our gifts. Their talents, the skills, you know, some people put them in different categories, but they're all God-given. They're all of our gifts. So I'm not talking about putting that on my tombstone to like be infamous or famous. And I'm not trying to add my name to the history books or anything like that. I just think it's important that my life was a reflection of Christ in my unique way. So this is actually how I would define the meaning of life. You may have different definitions, but I think this is a good one. The meaning of life is using your God-given gifts to point the way to God. That's it, right here and now. Using your gifts to point the way to God for other people. I think that's the meaning of life. Faithfully figuring out what your gifts are and where and how to use them faithfully. What else is more important than that when you think about it? The way that Jesus talks about this is the whole light metaphor. Letting your light shine. Have you ever thought about this? I think this is interesting. In Matthew Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." And in John, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Did you ever notice that? That's interesting. That could be very confusing, but it's really not. The idea is that we shine when we reflect the light of Christ in our lives. So we're all called to be part of that light, light of the world. So today I want to talk about four ways. These are the four ways that I came up with that we can think about how to use our gifts, four arenas for using our gifts and leaving a legacy. Okay, so the first one is maybe the most obvious one, family. Through your family. And we talk about that all the time. My legacy is my children, that kind of thing. You actually think about tombstones. They often say things like, beloved mother of three, or, you know, wonderful husband, those kind of things. They point to our legacy of our family. And that's downright biblical, right? You know, think about Abraham and Sarah. God makes a covenant with them and says, I want you to pass this down from generation to generation, and your descendants are going to be as big as the multitude of stars in the heavens. That's what God wants for us to carry down our faith. We've talked about our spiritual gifts last week. Again, to remind you, I'm going to hint on some of those again. You probably don't need the sheet, but if you want it, it's back there. When you think about those gifts we talked about last week, and what's interesting, every one of them is important for the family. They're all gifts that can be used to build up a family. Teaching, mercy, encouragement, communication, service. Every one of those gifts can be put into use, not just building up the church, but in raising your kids or having a family. It's part of imparting our values, you know, and the foundations that we want to build our kids' lives on. And it doesn't just extend to people that have kids. You know, Jan and I don't have kids, but we use our gifts in the family, in our extended families, and our adopted families, the closest friends. I mean, we try to build them up with our gifts. So I think that's important for us to remember, and that it's important for us to pass on. You know, there's things like addiction and abuse that can be passed down from generation to generation. But in the same way, the good stuff can get passed down too. That good stuff gets passed down from generation, the God stuff, maybe. So that's the first way, the first arena for using our gifts. Here's the second way. Work. Some of us have this hope, at least, that the work we do in our jobs leaves a legacy somehow, and that the work that we do somehow lines up with our gifts, that we're using our gifts through that. Not everybody thinks of it that way. There are probably some folks in this room for whom their job is just the way they earn their money. They just put their time in, do their work, and they use their gifts in other ways and try to shine that light of Christ in other ways. And then there are other people, probably in this room, who feel trapped in a job that they don't feel like uses their gifts. And believe me, I know what that's like. The last year of my life before coming here was terrible. I found myself in a position where the gifts that were required of the job, I didn't have. I didn't want. It was doing stuff that was not me. And I was miserable. I was so miserable that I had to disrupt our whole life to move and find a place where I could use my gifts. And I'm so glad I came to Grace, because this is a great fit for my gifts. So maybe that's you. Maybe you're feeling some angst about that. Could I just recommend that you don't get inspired by this sermon and put in your 2 weeks' notice tomorrow. I could get some negative phone calls or something about that. It requires some discernment, you know? You have to think about it and really wrestle with it. And sometimes the answer is, just got to plug through. Just got to wait. Maybe this is a time when you don't get to use your gifts. Or maybe you discover there's a way to transform what you're doing. You know, what if I did this? I could bring some of my gifts into play here. Or maybe you're just keeping your eye open. Keeping an eye open for something out there that might fit you better. That's worth doing. So we got family and we got work, two places that we often talk about using our gifts, but we can't stop there. A lot of people stop there. They go to work, they may or may not use their gifts, they come home and they express their gifts somehow with their family, and then they may feel a little unfulfilled because they need another place to use their gifts. Well, that's the community. That's the third arena, the community. In this scripture passage, Jesus talks about us being a city on a hill. That's not just individuals using their gifts. That's all of us using our gifts in a more of an expanded role out in the world. When I think about a city, I think about the key ingredients to a city. One, made up of families that raise up new generations and support and teach each other, that kind of thing. And then I think about workers, you know, who get the stuff done and create the infrastructure. That's family and work. But then there's this third thing that I call social cohesion. That's a term worthy of my sociologist wife, so she should be impressed that I said social cohesion. Think about it as like the glue that holds the city together. The ways we come together with some common purpose and some common values, and that can show up in lots of different ways, like a library or a school or a hospital. It doesn't have to be an institution like that either. Social cohesion can happen when you're sitting in your driveway, throwing back a few with your friends and talking about the week. It can happen in lots of different ways. So how can you use your gifts with the PTA? Or what nonprofit out there could use some of what you have to offer? How can you help your circle of friends to shine more, to reflect something good into the world? How can you apply your spiritual gifts in service to the community? Your kids' baseball team may actually benefit somehow from your spiritual gifts. Or the guys you get together with and play music once a week, that's an opportunity for you to share your spiritual gifts with each other. Maybe you're not specifically getting all evangelistic and discipleship-minded and telling people about your church, but maybe you are. How amazing is it if you find an opportunity to just even share a little bit about what your faith is helping you do in your life? That would be amazing. By the way, faith is a spiritual gift. And that brings me to the fourth arena, the fourth way that you can leave a legacy in the world, and that is the church. Now, the church actually is part of the third way, too. The church is part of that social cohesion. You know, people come to the church to interact with each other and do good things. But when Jesus talks about us being a city on the hill, I think he's actually talking to his disciples, his followers, and saying, you, when you spread out into the city, you've got to shine on behalf of God's kingdom for the city. So being a representative of the divine city of God in this city. So how can Grace United Methodist Church shine? How can we present God's love in the world? Some of that is when we use our gifts together, and we're going to talk about that more next week, but how can you use your gifts as part of this church for that? When Paul talks about spiritual gifts, he's specifically talking about the church kind of spiritual gifts. And he's talking about the church as being an outpost for the kingdom of God. I really like that word. He doesn't use it, but I like thinking of it as an outpost for the kingdom of God. We're out there on the edges, ready to step into the world. So I thought about at this point going through that list of 15 spiritual gifts and giving you examples, but it took too much time last week, so let's not do that again. But I'm gonna hit on some of them. Do you have the gift of teaching? Our church needs Sunday school teachers for our kids. We need people who will step up and do that. We need to start more small groups. We've started all these women's groups recently, and the Burger Boys. If you are interested in just going out once a month with a bunch of guys and getting a burger, talk to Matthew after the service. All right. There's all kinds of ways of being a teacher, too. It's not necessarily all the book smarts, Bible smarts kind of teaching. Maybe you have a specific skill you could teach people. You know, there are churches out there that offer classes in how to change your oil in your car. And that saves people money by changing. I would destroy my car. I would never do that. But that's a possibility. Do you have the gift of leadership? Every smaller system in the larger system of the church, every system from the preschool to the Yes Seniors group needs folks who can help lead, guide the way, point the direction that the group's going. Do you have the gift of mercy? Well, let me introduce you to Karen Loper, sitting back here. Karen is, does our pastoral care in the church and our congregational care, and she works with a group of people. We're looking to double the amount of people that are specifically involved in that kind of works of mercy, going to visit people in the hospital or shut-ins in their homes, or maybe, reaching out just to the folks who have lost someone in their lives, going through a tough time. There are definitely places in this church to use gifts of mercy, so you can talk to her. Gifts like prophecy and discernment and wisdom, maybe you came up with those. It might take a little work to figure out how to use those in the church, but they're so needed because those gifts, wisdom and discernment, they help people chart out their lives of discipleship. So it's actually a way of helping other people on their journeys. Here's the one that I think is hard for some people to understand, but exhortation, that's that idea of challenging people to grow in their faith and live a strong life. If you feel like you've got the gift of exhortation, you might be feeling called to ministry. You might feel the call to become a pastor and go to seminary or become a lay speaker. Actually, if you have any of these gifts, God might be calling you into the ministry. Then there's the gift of helps. That's an interesting one. And the gifts of administration. These folks provide the structure for the system. We need structure to fix the things that are broken and streamline the things that aren't. And every committee needs those people, helps and administration. So if we're going to be a church that reaches beyond the walls, we need people with gifts like communication and hospitality and encouragement. I mean, those help inside the walls of the church and outside. How can you use your communication? I'm guessing many of you in this room use your gifts in some way in the church and in your families and in your work and in your community. That's good. I just want to remind you of a couple things. It's okay every once in a while to step back and review. How am I using my gifts? Is this the best place for me to use my gifts? And it's okay to set boundaries about how you use your gifts. I am running ragged 5 nights a week with these nonprofits. Maybe I need to do 4 nights a week. Maybe you could use some help figuring out your gifts. What are your gifts? It takes a while to figure them out. You can talk to somebody. Talk to one of the pastors. Talk to a friend. Talk to somebody who's got the gift of discernment. They'll help you out. I love it when I see somebody locking in, finding a way to use their gifts in a way that just fits. I also love it when people use their gifts in broad ways. Here, I'm doing it out here and somewhere. Or little bitty ways. And plug in right here. All of that is shining. All of that is letting Christ's light shine through you. And that's, in my book, what leaving a legacy is. That's taking what God has given you and making it come alive in your unique ways. So, band, come on up. When I get to the end of my life, when I get to the end of my days, my sincerest hope is that I can look back at my life and see this trail of all the ways I used my gifts along the way. I can look back and say, oh, that feels good. That feels like I was faithful. I used my gifts for the kingdom of God, through the people that I encountered, or the systems I helped change, or the words I said, or just the faith that I exuded. It's not like I need some long list of accomplishments on my tombstone, or, you know, people to be talking about me 300 years from now. And it's not like I'm trying to do this to earn a place in heaven. That's important to remember. We do this as a response to the salvation God gives us. It's our way of saying thank you. That I have displayed God's love to many people in many ways, that I helped to shine and be just a glimmer of God's kingdom into the world. That shining is the brightest way to live my life and yours. Amen.